Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and success in young athletes at youthsportspsychology.com.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, we're here with Gary Simmons. He's author of Gym Bag Wisdom. He's a sports performance specialist who focuses on teen athletes. Our topic, why unstructured play is so important in sports.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports by visiting the products page of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to improve your kids' confidence, and much more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Kids' Confidence and Success in Sports.
Joining us is my brother, mental game expert, Dr. Patrick Cohn. Hi, Gary, and hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Pat. Now, how are you doing today?
Good. Well, Gary, first begin by talking a little bit about this concept of unstructured play. Some of us probably don't even know what it is, some of us parents.
Right. From my experiences working with the high school athletes, and I watch the ones that come in and see which ones excel through adolescence. And the ones that excel are the ones that come into, let's say, 14, 15, where sports are still a lot of fun. And now their bodies are changing physically, mentally, and emotionally. And that's when you really want them to be at their top of their game, not skill-wise, but just have the exuberance to play hard. Because when their body's changing and you play hard, then you're going to achieve your potential physically, mentally, and emotionally. Now, when I screen these kids and I ask them, what was your background coming through the ranks of youth sports? And I got to tell you, the majority spent more of their time playing on their own, not traveling, not playing on all these leagues in one season. Some kids play on two different baseball leagues a season. There's different soccer, tennis, they're traveling, they're always competing. Where a lot of the kids that came in and excelled through adolescence were the ones that spent more of their time playing with their buddies, either at the playgrounds or in the backyards, without any coaches around, without any parents around.
Well, let me jump in a minute here. Could you define excel for me? So what you're saying, I'm just going to summarize here, is that when you have kids, teens entering your programs, the ones who you see as the ones who excel are not the ones who are on the traveling teams or who are playing a lot of different sports. They're the ones who spend a lot of time just playing with their friends in backyards and school parks.
Yeah, a couple different things. The kids need to develop their athletic ability before we try to teach them the higher levels of skill of each sport. The more athletic you are, meaning you're quicker, faster on your feet, more coordinated, you're going to take in and you're going to excel at the skills when the coaches introduce them to you. So when you're going through adolescence and your body's changing and you're jumping rope and you're doing all these things and you're running around at a higher level of exuberance versus the kids that came in that are kind of burning out. They've been in these tournaments since they've been 9 years old, traveling and stuff like that. They come in and they don't push themselves. So to go you could be a 12-year-old state champion tennis player, but if you enter adolescence and you bring in 70% of intensity to your practices mentally, emotionally, and physically, the kids that are a step behind you in skill-wise but are playing at a higher level of athletic ability, they're moving faster, they're trying harder, their skills are going – they're going to excel at their skills. And that's the time you really want their skills to excel when they're going through adolescence.
Well, now, let Patrick jump in here for a minute. So, Patrick, what's your take on this? I think that part of what Gary's saying is that without the right mental game, they're not going to excel, and their mental game isn't going to be great if they've just been run through the sports grind.
Well, I don't know. I have some different views. I would agree on some aspects that unstructured play is going to allow them to develop their skills with freedom, without the pressure, without the grind. Certainly, it may provide a little bit more freedom of movement which we call trust, a little bit more confidence in what they're doing when they're not out there, you know, beating their heads against the wall, competing at a high level. But at the same time, you know, I see it, it appears to me that the kids that excel in the tennis world here in Florida are the kids that started young and started playing tournaments young and kind of got a jump on the rest of the kids that are out there. Now, not in all cases, but I think from a mental game perspective, kids also need to be able to learn how to compete. In other words, they have to be secure enough. They have to have the confidence enough, the know-how to go out and be able to compete. I know often what happens is kids work very hard on the technical and the mechanical, the skill building. Then they go into competition and they don't know how to compete because they haven't been there. And sometimes I think there's an overemphasis on the skill building part from a technical aspect. I'm talking more from a technical aspect.
Right.
And then the kids go in there and they don't know anything about game plans or strategy or how to play the game, but technically they may be very good.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything. There has to be a perfect balance between unstructured play and structured play. You have to have your structure. You have to have coaching at a certain time, a certain milestone, but you got to be careful not to introduce too much skill, too much coaching before they're ready to take on that information. Kids' brains can only handle certain many instructions before they develop paralysis through analysis. Then they just freeze up. Like Yogi Berra once said, can't think and hit a baseball at the same time. Now, when you do free play, when kids are in the backyard playing, they're 14, they're playing with 16-year-olds, 12-year-olds, trust me, they're competing, and they're competing at a high level. That's their training camp of competition. And when they do go play structured, they will have a better base of competition, of playing, being in competitive situations. So when they're introduced or they go to tennis and they have to play in a tournament, I will take those kids, as long as they've been involved in the structured tennis also. Let's say it's once or twice a week, but they're playing on their own with their buddies every day. We'll use tennis as the sport. They have their friends and they're out there hitting, but trust me, they're going to compete. They'll say, let's play a set. Let's play a match. They're going to goof around for a while, but they get competitive, and I watch it. And this is the foundation of competition. This is where it's being set. This is where it's being built. Then they go into playing in tournaments. They're more comfortable because they've been competing without the pressure of coaches, being in a tournament, without parents being out there watching them. They know they're being viewed. But when they're doing it on their own with nobody around, they're competing, but they don't have those expectations of the people in the stands.
Well, Gary, do me a favor. Describe a typical kid who you work with who excels. Like, just tell me what his background is, real specifically. Like, you can even name one kid you have in mind.
Well, yeah, myself was he became one of the top college tennis players. Let's see. I'm going to pick him out because I thought he would be too small. I didn't think he'd have the skills. And I was working with him when he was 14. I started doing a lot of physical stuff, jumping rope, doing all these things to try to improve his foot speed because he had to make up for it because he had lack of size. So he was never going to have a powerful serve. And he would work with the coaches. But he had such a big heart because he played with his brother. He played with kids in his neighborhood. And he used to tell me, we played the most incredible ping pong games you'll ever play in the basement, the most competitive. And ping pong is a stepping stone to tennis. It's the same mental game. The strokes are the same. It's competition. And he used to amaze me. Now, this kid would run, and run. He would do my drills. And I was like, hey, Mike, you're 5'9". I didn't say this, but he's 5'9". How far is he going to go? Tell you what, he went a long ways on the pro circuit, beat some big times players. He broke into the top 100 in the pros and doubles. He got ranked like 136 as a singles player. But the kid brought passion and he brought heart. And he brought it. He had that when he came to me. he continued to have it because the parents did a good job not pushing him into too many tournaments, but pushing him into enough that he always was being pushed a little bit more. And he played on his own with his friends. We had a group of kids in New Jersey, the top 12 kids that would come and play at our gym. And we had special training for all of them physically. Then I did some mental stuff with the breathing and the visualization and the focus skills and stuff like that. But we'd always have free time for those kids to play. And they always would meet in states later on. They were spread across the state. And they had so much fun, and they would play, and they would compete, they would battle, they would be laughing, they'd be screaming. But Mike Sell is an example of how passion can overcome physical limitations.
Patrick, do you have any comments about that?
About which part of that?
The passion being able to overcome physical limitations.
Well,
to a certain point, you got to understand.
We hear that a lot, actually.
A lot of our experts have talked about that's a key ingredient in the ability to just go out there and do repetition after repetition without getting bored. Because if you go out there and you do 10 reps and this is boring, you know, I'm doing everything well. And so one of the things that I've learned, I've interviewed, you know, some of the top mental game experts for a project I'm working on right now. And one of them was Galway, who wrote The Inner Game of Tennis, and he said that the great athletes are able to do repetition after repetition. They have this passion that allows them to keep going and keep refining their skills, where others are already home, you know, icing up or on the couch and resting. So the passion is absolutely a good part, and I think it can make up for being undersized or not having the quickness. I think there's lots of examples out there, but it depends what level you're talking about too, you know?
Yeah, and it also depends on the type of person you're dealing with, the type of personality, the type of kid. Like what I see when we do structured practice, when the coaches are out there, they spend too much time giving instructions. Kids learn by repetition. But you can do repetition and make it competitive. My little 12-year-old is one of the top 12-year-old tennis players in New Jersey also, and I coach him solely. And my theory through the whole time since he's been playing, since he's been five, is limited instructions. I put the ball in position where he's forced to do the proper footwork without me telling him how to move his feet. You have to understand how to put these kids in positions where they learn these complicated skills by positioning. Kids can learn a lot, but not through instruction. You have to be very careful when you introduce the next set, the next level of skill. They have to digest each step as they go. But it all depends on, I just would like to see youth coaches, when they do practice, a lot of these youth coaches are dads who played, so they want to give out all this information that they know about it, but they're forgetting they're talking to 10-year-olds. They can only process so much before they develop the paralysis or analysis, and then just freeze up. And do more game situations. You know, put them in situations where you have to hit this or you're done, or you have to hit this target or you're out. And kids have fun competing with that. If you have a group of 10 tennis players and you say, okay, first one that can hit this, and you have to hit it with this, you have to hit it this hard, and they like to do that. That's fun, and they're getting the competition, and they're doing it amongst themselves where they're laughing and they're not in a tournament yet, but that's the foundation of the mental game. That's the foundation of competition. And more practices should be where they are competing in these practices like they do in unstructured play. Trust me, I've watched the kids, I've studied it, I know it growing up myself. When we're out playing, and we're playing against the older kids, because to get enough kids on your team, you have to have the whole neighborhood, we competed hard. And when I would walk on and watch my buddies walk into structured or into our little league games, it was like, pitch me the ball. We're going to crush it. They didn't have these so-called mental hang-ups because they spent so much time with this free play. Let me throw in an incredible thought about free play. If you take the inner city basketball player, he has changed the way basketball is played, but yet very few had any coaching whatsoever. Very few played in organized youth sports. They couldn't afford it. They didn't have it. But they play at the highest level in the world at their game. They changed the way basketball is played, and they never had structured play all the way through. They had fierce competition out on the court. If they lost the game, they had to wait 5 games to get back into the game. These are kids that we watch in college and pros, and they don't ever seem to have a problem with fear of failure, being perfectionists, or what. They just get out there and they just go, because that's how they grew up, competing amongst themselves. And when they get in front of a crowd of 20, 30,000, it's like playing on the playground. So there's a lot to be said about the unstructured play and peer pressure when it comes to competition. Peer pressure can be a bad thing sometimes, but peer pressure can be a great thing sometimes. And I think in unstructured play, the pride level and the exuberance and everything that happens in kids' heads drives them to compete higher than sometimes they do when they go to a tennis tournament.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.